sustain him through other times of doubt and fear. He didn't just sit in the boat and watch somebody else face their fear. He got out and faced it himself. And when he began to sink, he cried out, "Jesus." And Jesus immediately lifted him up. This is the truth about fear. It never goes away, ever. Every time we want to grow, every time we want to change, every time we have to deal with a new challenge, we have to deal with fear. And fear is connected with failure. I believe fear of failure is what's kept the local church hogtied for far too long. It's why we settle for good enough. We don't invest in people and in ministry because it's more secure to invest in bricks and mortar. If we try something new, it might fail. Have you ever heard it said in the church? Oh, we tried that once. Yeah, we tried it once. You know who Jonas Salk is? He developed a vaccine for polio. But before he got the one that worked, he failed. Do you know how many times he failed? 200 times. And somebody said to him, "How did you keep going through 200 failures? He said, "What failures? I never failed. I learned how not to vaccinate people for polio 200 times before I learned how to do it." Winston Churchill admitted to repeating a grade in school, and some astonished listener said to him, "You mean you failed a grade in school?" And Winston Churchill said, "I've never failed at anything in my life. I was given a second chance to get it right." You see, failure doesn't define us, and it doesn't have to stop us. It's all about how we respond when failure happens. Peter put himself in a position to fail by getting out of the boat, and because he did, he put himself in a position to grow. And that's a big part of our problem. If we can't embrace the truth that we fail as a church, we can never get past that fear and press into new things and new ideas and new ways. And the truth is this, friends, do you not know the church is failing? How many people on a given Sunday do you think were in church in 1950? What percent of the population in 1950 do you think was in church every Sunday? 80? 87. 87%. Today, what do you think? 18.7. Some pollsters say numbers up to about, well, no, it's 40%. It's more like 40% in the church on Sunday. Well, let's still think about that. 87 to 40. Big decline, right? No matter what number we look at, if we're honest, it's a big drop. And if the local church is the hope of the world, we've got to stop being satisfied with good enough. We've got to stop making excuses, well, why these people aren't coming to church. Because it's not about coming in here and sitting in the building and filling up the pews. It's about knowing who Jesus is and having a life-saving relationship that will support people when they face the storms of life and make them able to get out of the boat and walk through the storm by calling on Jesus. And the awareness, friends, this one blows my mind. Between 1980 and 2000, in that 20-year span, 78 million people were born. How many of you fit into that time frame, born during 1980 to 2000? Thank you. You are among the 15% of your generation attending worship. 15%. That ought to drive us to our knees, church. Because there's a generation growing up without any connection to Jesus Christ, without any connection to community, without any connection to anything that's going to help them overcome the storms of life and the fears of this world. We have to stop being satisfied with good enough. In the last 7 years, the number of Christians has decreased. The number of people who say, I'm a Christian, has decreased 8% in the last 7 years. And the number of people who identify themselves as nothing, has increased the same amount. It breaks my heart, church. As the Casting Crown song goes, in the shadow of our steeple are the lost and lonely people looking for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. And friends, that is not okay. It's not okay. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, Pastor. What is it that we're supposed to do? Well, let's start by taking a look at this video. There should be sound with this. Over the next several weeks, we'll be looking at some practices that we can build on so that we become truly a congregation, a local church, committed to doing something to reach all generations, because the Spirit has been poured out and the gift has been given for all generations. My heart is burdened for those who don't see the need for a connection to Jesus Christ. And if the local church is the hope of the world, we are the ones who need to be demonstrating that need, that it's good to have a connection, a community, a place to grow, and to come to know who Jesus Christ is. You see, Jesus continually reinterpreted the status quo during his ministry on earth. He constantly invited his followers to see things differently as he gave life to the eternal word. The word is unchanging, but the world continues to change. He dealt with the needs of those who came to him, looking for help and healing and deliverance. And he constantly, in giving them what they needed in the immediate moment, pointed to an eternal truth beyond the here and now. Friends, we live in the here and now, but this is not our eternal home. Thank God. In Christ and by the Spirit, holiness is unleashed on our earthly existence. And Jesus constantly reinterprets ordinary experiences and makes them holy encounters as the glory passes by. He took the Passover meal, which was a tradition practiced for generations, built on tried and true foundations, built on the Word of God. He took the Passover meal and he reinterpreted it for Christians, for Christ followers. He said, this bread, this is my body broken for you. And this cup that we drink every time we share in the Passover, he said, this cup is the cup of a new covenant, of my blood poured out for you, for all, for the remission of sin. Not the blood of bulls and goats and repeated continual sacrifices, but a once for all sacrifice of my body and my blood for you, Jesus said. And as often as you do this, whether you do it in the Passover setting as Jews would continue to do for generations, or you do it in your home with your friends, do it in remembrance of me. You do it in your local church, Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. And when I remember Jesus, I can't help but hear him saying, there are people who aren't sitting in this room who don't know me. And when I remember Jesus, I'm just filled and fueled to do whatever it is I need to do to equip the saints, and that's you, for ministry, for mission, for outreach, for service, for reaching beyond the walls of this place to the ones who haven't yet come to know who Jesus is. So as we gather at this table this morning, friends, I pray that God pour your Spirit out on this bread and on this cup. Pour your Spirit out on these people, on your children, and fan into flame, Lord, the fire that is already in them. Fan it into flame, Lord. Make them hunger and thirst to be able to share your word, through their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness. As they sow seeds and shed light into the lives of people who they encounter every day, who don't know who you are. Help us to be bold for you. Help me to be bold for you, Jesus. May this bread and this cup bind us all together in the unity of the faith that we proclaim. Bind us and strengthen us. Focus us on your purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The ushers are going to invite you to come, and I invite those that are going to serve up front with me to come now. We'll take a piece of the bread and we dip it into the cup, remembering that it is the body of Christ and his blood given for us. The body of Christ given for you and his blood shed for you.